I take the promised Holy Ghost. The blessed power of Pentecost to fill me to the uttermost, I take. Thank God he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. Be seated, please. A dark, a sinister, and terrifying shadow is upon this planet of ours at the moment. The cauldron of the destruction of the health of the whole world is at stake. The pendulum could swing one way or another. It could swing to the side of the stopping and the blocking of this terrible shadow that is upon us. If you look at Psalm 91, there's another shadow, and it's called the shadow of the Almighty. So the shadow of the Almighty could overshadow the shadow of this terrible darkness that is upon and threatens our world tonight. As we come down the chapter, the emphasis is on the pestilence and this shadow upon our world is the shadow of the pestilence, of the threatening of the nations of the earth with total disaster and a wiping out. It is a dark shadow of a pandemic. We have heard of other types of deaths coming, but a pandemic is a universal plague that strikes and strikes bitterly into the society of the whole nation. One pandemic took away 1 million lives. We don't know how many lives this pandemic could destroy. In a world like ours of sinful acts and sinful deeds, we are assured that in the haste of death, there will always be deeper darkness than other days of lesser threats. This is not a lesser threat. This is a worldwide threat. Not every season brings the darkest of nights. But there is a time in the history of the world when the darkest of nights are inescapable. Wages have to be paid, and the wages of sin is death. Sin, when it is finished, the holy book of God tells me, bringeth forth death. And death always draws what is its right under God's pure and holy laws. Death always draws its payoff. There is no escape from the payment of that debt. Daily, the world is marking the onward march of this pandemic through the world. The more we know of what is really happening, the more fears will overshadow us. The present plague is running fast and going at an even greater velocity day by day. You have only to lift a newspaper. You have only to listen to the news that is broadcast, and you will be alarmed, and rightly so, because this is a time when no one can prophesy accurately what is really going to happen. And then, right in the middle of this calamity, there has been an announcement from the government. They told us that they had arranged that every day they could handle 6 million telephone calls to a special arrangement that had been built to make such possible in a pandemic like the one we're in. And then suddenly, out of the blue, the government has said, we have tried our new invention and it has utterly failed. And there will be no possibility of it being repaired and be ready until the early month, the first month, January of the next year. So the 6 months when we needed the possibility of quick contact with those that could help, those that will be caught up in the dark shadow, has gone. And all the government can now say, if you have any trouble, you've just got to persevere and use the National Health Service ordinary telephone links. You think of what that means. If this awful scourge should increase and increase and overwhelmingly increase, where will people turn? And then an announcement has also been made that it's possible that the only way that these drugs that are needed to give some sort of protection to those who have taken and have bowed to this pestilence, that the only way to get these drugs will be upon the open market, and that there will be a battle royal even on the very streets of cities that are sweat with it to fight to get the pills and the necessary medical attention. Think of a world in such conflict as that. The number of deaths has been climbing every day. I picked up one of the daily newspapers yesterday, and I got a map of the world, and I got a notice on this of all the countries of the world that are threatened and all the countries of the world that have not only been threatened but have those that are registered as having this disease. What does the Bible say? It's an arrow that flieth by day. What does the Bible say? It is a terror by night. What does the Bible say? It walketh in darkness. What does the Bible say? It is a destruction that wasteth at noonday. What does the Bible say? 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. That is what is before this world. We may well ask the question, is there a threat to the health of the whole world? Yes, there is a threat, and a threat which will come eventually in terrible judgment, except there's a change in circumstances. The old book of God, in an aging language, warns. And I would ask you to pick up your Bible and turn with me to the second book of Peter. The second book of Peter. And in the second book of Peter, there is the chapter 3. And in that chapter, at verse 9, we read these words. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. 2 Peter chapter 3. But as long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing we look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. There is a warning to us all, a warning that there could be the setting of the stage for a pandemic the like of which has never been seen to this day in this world. Remember, there has always been in this world various installments of God's judgment. They have fallen all down through the ages, and they will continue to chastise the world and all that it is. In fact, the Bible has given us an entire record of God's judgments, from the days of the flood to the days of the second advent of our Lord from heaven. Remember, when God's judgments are upon this earth, then the inhabitants of this sinful creation will, the Bible tells me, learn righteousness. How weak and impotent men are! How omnipotent is the one true and living God! When man begins his sinful rejoicing, God will begin his holy reign over sin, over Satan, and over sinners. Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with a stroke. Then a great ransom will not deliver you. Job chapter 30 and verse 18. When man begins sinful boasting, God begins a faithful chastisement. The wonders of God in using the wherewithal of the powers of his own creation is a fact that stares us in the face at the beginning of what could be a wiping out of a very major part of the earth's population by the swine fever. Plagues and pestilences are weapons in the armory of Almighty God for the chastening of those that disobey his commandments. Down through the centuries, they have fallen upon the inhabitants of the earth many times. And many on this planet have been silent but eternal witnesses to the mighty arm made bare of God in judgment. Man is a fool to fight against the only wise God. Being pride of fallen man has motivated him over and over again to become a rebel, to war against his Maker. Why will not man heed the truth? Pride makes sinful men to dig their own graves and be damned forever under the power of the deception of Satan himself. Rebellious man of Adam's sinful race would only learn the lesson. How great would he become if he was obedient to the Lord of heaven? The promises of Satan, grasped by man, deceived by sin, and embraced by him, that deception of man will bring him to see and taste eternal abomination. The end is death, endless death, forever and ever. Right down through all the ages of the history of this planet, you can trace the resulting destructive influence of iniquity and the final damnation which awaits the soul righteously consigned by the thrice holy God to the lake of hell's flames forevermore. Remember, the torments of hell are eternal. That famous preacher, John Watson, cried out to his vast number of hearers as he preached to them in London during the days of his ministry. And this is what the great preacher said: the torments of hell abide forever. The smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. Time cannot finish it. Tears cannot quench it. The wicked are those that will live always in the fire of hell, but never be consumed. After sinners have lain millions of years in hell, their punishment is far from ending, as it was at the beginning. If all the earth and sea were sand, and every 1,000 years a bird would come and take away one grain of this sand, it would be a long time ere the vast heap of sand was emptied. Yet if after all that time the dam might come out of hell, there would be some hope. But the word ever breaks any chance of any hope. I am glad tonight in the gospel there is another ever. It is the demonstration of the heart of love that God has for lawbreakers and for sinners. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have, listen, everlasting life. Before us in this depraved earth, there is a decision to be made. There is a salvation to be gained. What fools men, women, and children are who choose a path to hell instead of the path to heaven. Which have you made choice of? Christ gave his life as a ransom for the many. It would take the words of, I would take the words of the God of infinite love and pardon, and I would repeat to all men what he personally repeated to the man Lot. And as Lot stood on the border of Sodom, that it was about to be destroyed, the doomed city, here is what God said: escape for your life. Look not behind you. Neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Remember, to linger is to be lost forever. Before us all is death, or all is life. By washing in the blood of Christ, we can be eternally saved. Christ is our unerring pilot, skillful in each boisterous wind. He is also our salvation, ever near and ever kind. though we sail in tribulation, and by mighty waves are tossed, we shall know no separation, for our souls can ne'er be lost. Winds and storms cannot impede us in our passage way to rest. Christ our captain safely keeps us, in whose life our souls are blessed. Rolling waves are all appointed, safe to bring us into port. Sailing saints are all anointed for their Father's blessed court. All who sail aboard, on board with Jesus, on this rough and troubled sea, oft are exercised with changes, yet their keel shall cut its way. What though mighty waves and billows altogether do combine, all on board have got the earnest of inheritance divine. Are you on the gospel ship? Have you taken Christ as your Savior? Does it matter to you what the events in this world come to? Because you're safe and secure through the blood of Christ and through His incorruptible offer of a full and a free and eternal salvation. I would repeat tonight, be in time, be in time. While the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. If in sin you longer wait, you may find no open gate, and your cry be just too late. Be in time. I pray that every one of us in the Lord's house tonight will be in time, and will come into the blessing of the peace and the pardon and the paradise of God's word. And what does it say? Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Listen, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. There is peace, perfect peace, in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Make sure You have peace within through the blood of Christ. Let's bow our heads. O God, our Father, we have been looking out over this world that Thou didst create. Thou didst create it for the good and the blessing of men. But, O God, men have taken Thy word and twisted it. They've taken Thy Son and they've hung Him up upon a cross. They have taken the words of His lips and twisted them so badly that they are now broken by their satanic power. O God, I pray that tonight everyone in this house will make sure they have a saving interest in the Son of God. May they turn their eyes upon Jesus. May they look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Bring every soul in this house to Christ this night for Jesus' sake. And the people of God said, Amen and Amen.